We're starting about 4 or 5 minutes earlier than we normally start. So small announcement. We're gonna put up a timer at 11 o'clock, and we're gonna do our best to start at 11:05 every Sunday morning. I know we've been relaxed on that lately, but I want to be respectful of everybody's time, and we're gonna start at 11:05 as long as we're able to do so. All right, so. For those of you that come in and stuff like that, make sure you get parked, make sure you get a good seat, and we're going to start at 11:05. But anyway, God is amazing. Do you agree?
Amen.
This first song is a newer one that we learned, but it's a simple song, and it asks the question, how can I keep from singing? So if you guys would like to stand and sing with us, it's a simple one to learn, but the chorus goes, how can I keep from singing your praise? All right, here we go.
It's an endless song, echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring. Though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? No, I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for now my Savior lives. And I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through, and sing the songs you give.
How can I keep?
How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I can sing in the troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up, sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around your throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say now? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart fall in love by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart wanna sing.
I pray this morning, if you are loved by the King, your heart should want to sing. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think our heart sings whether it's sunshine and the rain's falling. It doesn't matter. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, every day is a good day. Amen. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that changes today. You know, when I get up here and God lays a message on my heart or these musicians to share and sing with you guys, I praise God that He does that to edify His name and build each one of, so each one of us can glorify Him, so each one of us can be built up. But most of all, if there is any way or opportunity that God can touch your heart if you've never known Him, let me let you know. That's the most important thing to Christ. Yes, we're going to lift His name. Yes, we're going to fellowship. Yes, we're going to enjoy the worship we have. But the angels in heaven rejoice when one comes to know Him. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I pray that whether it be in one of these folks' songs, whether it be in the sermon, a handshake, a hug, a prayer, please make that decision before it's too late. Surrender your heart and your life to Him. And guys, I'm not asking, are you a member of the church? If you want to come be a member, hallelujah. But that's not what's important. I'm not asking if you're Baptist, Assembly of God, Methodist. I don't know. That stuff matters when it comes to you know Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. I have no idea why the Lord's had me up here preach at you at opening prayer time, but
He's feeling it.
I just want you to know that God loves you. He cares for you. And regardless of what the world may tell you, the world will say you're a sinner. Why do you think you deserve to be in that church? Why are you worshiping? Why this? Why that? My God just said it isn't about the whys. I love you enough that I died for you. If you will come to Him, He said, I will make sure that you are put in my Father's hand and no one can snatch you out of it. But you have to make that choice. I can't do it for you. I can pray for you, but I can't pray you into heaven. Only you can go through the salvation plan that Christ has set forth. And I pray that you do that today if you haven't already. Amen? It's good seeing everybody this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And guys, hallelujah. What a beautiful sunset. I'm getting through this day quick. I've been preaching for hours and you didn't even know it. Oh, well, you know, I was with that guy from Missouri, so, you know, it's a show me thing. Where's he at? He's here somewhere. There he is. Hallelujah. It's good seeing everybody this morning. I praise the Lord for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I do thank you for an incredible class this morning for these folks who are here. There's quite a few people missing, whether they're traveling. There's some who are ill, Lord God. It's good to see those that are back after being ill. Father, I just thank you that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And whether they're at home not feeling well or here rejoicing or on the road traveling, you're still God and you're right there with them. May you let them know that we're missing them and we're praying for them. And God, I pray that everything we do here today will glorify you. You get all praise and honor for everything that's happening here today. I know Barry would love to be here on those drums, but he's having to be on call at work. Just let him know that even though he's at work, you still love him and we care for him. You care for him and he's missed, Lord. Father, I just pray your will to be done, Father, as we open this service now in your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Good seeing everybody. Walk around a second. Shake somebody's hand. Give them a hug. Just let them know it's good to see them in God's house this morning.
On the course.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my soul.
What?
Down in the depths of my soul.
What?
Down in the depths of my soul. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my soul.
Okay.
Down in the depths of my soul to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack.
Ow!
Sit on attack.
Ow!
Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack.
Ow!
Sit on attack to stay. And I'm so happy.
Come on and join us.
I'm happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And so happy. So very happy.
As you find your seats,
I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Cause I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Amen. Give God the glory. You know, if you wasn't in Sunday school, you don't know, Paul Schlitt is here. He is the director of the Royal Ambassadors Camp. He and I have been in a Royal Ambassadors Camp meeting, directors meeting, all weekend. And Paul, I'm thinking that song they just played probably made you think about Royal Ambassadors just a little bit, huh? That's where you would hear that song normally. Praise God. We should be happy. Amen. Are you happy to be in God's house today?
Yes. Woo!
Amen. I promise I didn't wear this with my Winnie the Pooh tie. But this was found. Is this one of you young ladies out there? Are y'all missing your purse?
It's
Ian. Oh, Gunny, it's yours. I'm sorry.
Don't judge.
Okay, well, maybe it was left Thursday night. I'm not sure then. If you know of a young lady, I'm assuming young lady. That's right, don't judge, right? Whosoever this is, just let them know it's here if you hear somebody's missing a purse. Okay, just a few things. These are all in your bulletin, but I want to make sure to grab the highlighted ones, things that are coming up. First of which, though, isn't in your bulletin. Miss Pam came down last Sunday. I see a lot of people fanning. I don't see Daryl back there, but somebody turn the air conditioners on a little bit. Okay, Pam came down for prayer last Sunday morning, and she wanted me to share with you guys a testimony. She said after we laid hands on her and prayed with her after service last week, that she is feeling much better. She was up here foot fellowshipping a while ago. Today, after the service, there is going to be a Sunday school teachers meeting, so if you're a Sunday school teacher and or going to be slated to be one when we start the new classes up, please get with Annie for the Sunday school meeting. The SRT team is meeting today after the services also. Next Sunday evening, we will not have normal services. We're going to have the soup or bowl festivities. And what that is, guys, people make all kinds of different soups or chilies, and we just bring it up here, and we're going to have the tables cleared out of the way. Pardon? Bring your favorite bowl, that's right. We're going to clear the tables out. I'll have the referee's game being projected onto the wall. And we're going to have just a great time of fellowship, a time of coming together. If you want to bring games, a lot of people don't watch football. They just want to come fellowship, play games. You can bring your chaise lounge, your recliner from the house, whatever you want to carry in there and sit. We're just going to have a time of gathering. And it's a great opportunity to try out people's different soups. I know Chris brought something a couple years ago. I don't remember the name of it, but it was pretty incredible. Well, do you remember what it was?
Just Tuscan potato kale soup.
Is that all?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds very good for you, but it was still very good. It was Tuscan potato kale soup.
Yeah.
It was very good. Don't let the name fool you. Anyway, Just kidding. But it's time to gather. So that's next Sunday evening. Tonight, regular service as usual, 6 o'clock. We'll have our Bible study. Invite everybody to come back for that. The ladies' retreat's coming up next week. We praise God for those who have volunteered to come and do breakfast for us. While most of the ladies are going to be gone, I think that was Carolyn and others who are coming to do that, so thank you. Business meeting, February 17th. I know that's still a long ways out, but I want you to mark that on your calendar, guys. That's very important. We're going to have that church-wide business meeting. Okay, there's other things in there. I want to make sure you're looking and seeing. However, I am going to turn this over for just a minute and let Miss Christy come up, and she's going to share with you a little bit this morning.
We've been invited to go to Alaska, and Salmon Frenzy happens the last 3 weeks in July, and the salmon are swimming up along the coast of a town called Kenai, Alaska, and as they're swimming by, the residents only, not us visitors, but the residents, they can go dip netting, and dip netting is this great big old net about 5 feet in diameter. It has a long pole on it, and the fishermen put on their coats, and the weather's like 40 to 60. They put on their coats, and then they put on their chest waders, and they wade out into this cold water, and they stand out there for hours with this net, waiting for the fish to swim into their net. And they get to keep like 25 fish per head of household, and then for every family member that they have that comes with them and stays on the beach, so there's lots of camping, they get 10 extra fish. So it's worth it because the fish are very expensive. Salmon's a good fish to eat, and it's a costly fish. And so the residents love to go fishing for these salmon. So our friend and the director of Alaska Missions is named Brenda Krim. And so the first time that Brenda was up there, that she had lived there long enough to be a resident, she went with a friend to go fishing. The dip net fishing, and the friend had two little girls with her, two little kids, and so the friend would get all set up, and she'd get her net out there, and then she'd feel this tug on her shirt, "Mommy, Mommy, I gotta go to the bathroom. Mommy, Mommy, I'm hungry," you know, and so she was always having to get up out of the water and go tend to her kids, and so Brenda's sitting there watching all this, and she starts to thinking that there's lots of families out there with their kids, and there's an audience just already gathered, and what can we do to help bring them to Jesus? And so she started thinking up things, and she got a bouncy house going and face painting for the kids, and they do a little vacation Bible school kind of thing. And the traffic around there is really bad, so she's got people out there playing traffic cop, and the thing that we're most known for is hot dogs. We have thousands of hot dogs that we give away every summer to the people that are there fishing. And so we're known as the hot dog people. But we also give out coffee and hot chocolate and just try to minister to these people as they come through the line. Sometimes we get to go down walking around with them, and we try to start spiritual conversations. And they typically have a little short worship service on Sunday morning too. So it's just a time to minister to the Alaskan residents. And if that's something that you think you might be interested in, I'd be glad to give you more information, answer questions. And there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And if you look in your little pamphlet this morning, there's a flyer. So thank you.
So we are sharing the gospel, if you will, by service, by going out there. From my understanding, we may be cleaning the beaches, we may be serving hot dogs, and it doesn't matter about the age. Brenda said whether elderly or young, she has a position or a job or a task that will fit your capability. So this is an opportunity for you to be able to go to the mission field, but it's not like going to say, North Africa, where you're going to have to hike for miles and miles in the heat. This is an opportunity, if you would like to go and experience sharing the gospel with a different people group and get your feet wet, this is that kind of mission trip to go on. Now, we have 11 spaces available. Four have already been spoken for. So it only leaves seven more. And the sign-up sheet's in the back. Now, there was, let's see, is it on there? Yep, by March 18th. If you are wanting to go, we're promoting this now so you have time to save up the money. But we need the first $700. It's going to be $1,400. So the first $700 by March 18th to secure and procure the plane fare. So that's why that date's there. It's like the deposit. So March 18th is when you got to have the first half. And I want to encourage you to go. I'm going to be going. And I have a feeling we're going to have an incredibly blessed trip. Now, I may be changing the dates on you to the third week rather than the second, because First Baptist Church Carn City is going up there as well that third week. And I thought it would be neat to go with a sister church in the area, and they've been before. So that way we could kind of not have a learning curve. We could be right there with them, following right along with them. So again, I may be changing the dates on you. I have to get back to that. But it is the second or third week of July, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. All right. Brother David. David has our scripture reading this morning. That you will just speak through him, and may we hear you through him. Thank you for his obedience in coming and sharing the gospel the way you've called him to share the word the way you've told him to. And may you be with Oksana and the kids and just bless his family for his willingness to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, David.
When I was asked to read the scripture today, I kind of had it on my heart where to start in so many different places that... The scripture has meaning to us. And then it kind of dawned on me to kind of just start at the beginning when the disciples asked Jesus for help and where to begin. It's in Luke 11, verse 11. Now, when it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As it happened, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. But Jesus said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word and of God and keep it. This is the reading of the words of the Lord. Amen. Dear Father, sometimes when we seek your word, help us to remember where to start. Help us to know that you have given us the words to say to a world that is lacking. Help us to teach them as you taught your disciples. Help us to remember that the truth comes through us from the Father. As it was given to the Son, so it is given to us that we must share. And all things we ask, Lord, teach us, guide us, fill us, and use us for your greater glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, we're going to continue in song. If you guys want to... just take a comfortable worship position, whatever that is for you. We'll sing a few songs and just worship this morning. I mean, don't know if I can say much more than that. Just allow the words to sink into your heart and just worship.
Come, Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. No to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for Thy courts above. Come, Thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for Thy courts above. So here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for Thy courts above.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on You. Through it all, Far be it from me to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The winds and wind still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. The waves and wind still know His name. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder that power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burdens gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Just two voices.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. If you believe God is great this morning, say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Make it easy on you to find this morning. Romans chapter 1. I feel as though the Lord's laid a message on my heart this morning to speak with you about something that I think every one of us, every single one of us, can and has the capability of improving on in our lives. Something that many of us, and I'm including myself here, do very poorly at, even though our relationships, whether it be with our spouse, our children, our coworkers, our friends, even with those whom we very faintly know and we want to share the gospel with, our relationships depend so much upon this, but yet we tend to do it very poorly. And that is in our capabilities of communicating one with another. How we speak to one another, things we should speak. Every one of us needs to know how to be an effective communicator. And I'm not just saying the pastor. I'm not just saying a Sunday school teacher. We think, oh, well, if you have a public office, if you are a public speaker, you know, you have to be able to communicate. I disagree. Yes, you do need those, but I would say that every human being needs to learn how to become a better communicator, primarily because our relationships depend upon that. Not just with our spouses, but even if we want to go carry forth the Great Commission and share the gospel, it doesn't take a charismatic, academy-trained individual to speak. If we will just stop and think and pray and listen and look to the scriptures, what can I do to be a better communicator? Now, one of the greatest and most tremendous communicators of all time, I think, at least in scriptures, is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at this in the book of Romans. And I couldn't help, but when I saw the bulletin, when Wendy gave me the bulletin, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. God is the ultimate communicator. And he did so in such a fashion that his words will never pass away, and yet we understand them. Paul did an incredible job, I believe, of taking the words of God and sharing them and breaking them down in a way that he was communicating to regardless of whomever or nationality, color of individual, financial bracket, it didn't matter to Paul. He was able to share the gospel. He was able to share his relationships with others. In Romans chapter 1, I think our scripture text this morning gives us several insights how we, each one of us, can become a better communicator, how we can have discussions one with another, how we can talk and the importance of communicating, and how we can make it a strategic part of our lives, if you will. But in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8, listen to what he says. First, now remember, he's talking to the Roman church here. This is probably one of the deepest books within Scripture as far as how the church is to run and the nuances of Christianity and salvation. But he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. For the God whom I serve with my spirit in telling the good news about his Son is my witness, and I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now I want you to know, brothers, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry amongst you, just as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the good news to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it is God's righteousness revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Hallelujah. When we look at this passage of Scripture, when we look at how Paul is addressing the Romans, if you will, he is delivering an incredibly powerful epistle, an incredibly powerful study, if you will. He's delivering an incredibly powerful message, but he's doing so in a way that can be heard and it can be understood. And when I say heard, I'm not saying he's loud or has a technique of speaking. He's saying it where the people want to hear what he has to say. There are some incredible attributes to this little passage of Scripture that I think that we can glean from that, so that we can become better communicators and be able to express ourselves to one another more clearly. The first thing I would say about a good communicator when we look at Paul's thing here is he's complimentary. Look at verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. This is important to understand, guys. And I wish I had learned this early with my kids rather than later and older. But he starts off here with a compliment. He is not using flattery. He's just not throwing flattery out there. He was sincere. He was bragging on their faith that was exhibited by the Roman church. He was saying, I have heard of you all over. Your faith is exceptional. He wasn't the founder of the church in Rome, so it wasn't like he was trying to take credit for its good qualities. He truly found something good to compliment them on. Before he started anything else, he made sure that they realized that they were important to him. He simply wanted them to know that he was aware of their good name. He wanted to make sure they knew that, wow, this is great what you have here. Folks, when we will compliment others in our conversation, when we will do things and find ways of letting them know that they are important to us, that we care about this relationship, we care about this conversation we are about to have, we are bridging that pathway into communication. Before we interact with anyone, they should have a sense of how much we value them. When we're talking to our spouse, when we're talking to our children, when we're talking to our coworkers, we should let them know, even if it's something out of the ordinary, even if the subject matter that in this conversation is going to be deep and it's going to be tense, that we should start out making sure that that other individual knows that I care for you, that you are important to me, that I value this conversation. This isn't a waste of my time right now. I want to share with you, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our children, our parents, our coworkers, our friends, sharing the gospel on the streets. We should not keep our appreciation for the other one from them. Now, some of us have a hard time with that, and we have to learn how to do that. We just wasn't brought up that way. Therefore, it's hard for us to recognize and realize the importance of doing that. But we should strive to try to. We should let those whom we're communicating with know that, hey, you are important. Our spouses, we should let them know, no matter what the conversation is, you can say, well, we're arguing about this. Even in the midst of a disagreement, you can stop and remind yourself and them how much they mean to you. That whatever this situation is, yes, it may be tense and we need to speak about it, but it is nothing compared to how important you are to me. And when we convey that to them, then they will hear it and convey it back, hopefully. We should rehearse all the good qualities of our children back to them when we're talking to them. Now, I'm not saying that we coddle our children. I'm not saying that we don't get on to them. I'm saying they should know, even if you're having to get on to them about something, even if there's a disciplinary act that has to take place, they should know that mom or dad, they love me. That I am not just a fouled up, broken piece of nothing. That I am important. Yes, I might have messed up and mom and dad are fixing to tell me how I messed up, but I know that they care for me because mom and dad just told me how great I am in this area, but I need to improve here. We need to stop and think about what we say and how we say it when we're speaking to our spouses, when we're speaking to our children, when we're speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ or whomever it is. We should stop and let that individual know, I care about you. And then say whatever it is in a way that builds them up as well. There's a story of a king who he had a dream that all his teeth fell out. So he calls this soothsayer and he says, I had this horrible dream. And he's concerned, naturally concerned about this nightmare. And he calls this guy in. And he says, I want you to interpret this dream for me. And so he starts reiterating the dream to the soothsayer and telling him every aspect of it. And the soothsayer, he listens, but then he just blurts out to the king, Your Highness, the dream means that all your relatives are going to die and you're going to be left all alone. Well, the king didn't want to hear that. He was furious, and he said, Get out of here. How dare you say such a hurtful and hateful thing? How can you be like that? And just sent him out of the kingdom, said, You better get out of here before I do something worse. Just go. So he said, I still want to know what this dream means. Send me another soothsayer. I want another soothsayer to come in here. So another soothsayer comes in, and the king tells him his dream and tells him just like he did the first one. And this soothsayer looks at him and says, Rejoice, O king. Rejoice. This dream means that you are going to live for many years. In fact, you are going to outlive all your relatives. Long live the king! And the king says, Wow! This interpretation pleased him so much, he gave him a whole bag of gold and said, Thank you. Thank you for interpreting this dream. But you notice, both soothsayers said the exact same thing. But one just didn't care, and the other one said, Oh, king who lives forever. He built him up. Rejoice, O king. He made sure to go into this conversation. He said the exact same thing, but he chose to say it in a fashion that didn't belittle the king. It didn't scare the king. It didn't tear down his integrity. He told him the same interpretation, but he did it with the acknowledgement, Rejoice, O king. Long live the king. I am glad you're going to be here forever. You're going to lose all your loved ones. You're going to outlive them all, but you'll be here, and praise God for that. Same information, but delivered in a way that he thought about what he was going to say. The first one, if you notice, he just blurted it out. If we would stop and think about what we're saying to our spouses, to our children, if we would stop and think about how we're saying it, Lord knows I was horrible at this. I'm probably still not the greatest at it. But if we will stop and recognize that person I'm speaking to, especially if it's my spouse, my children, a brother or sister in Christ, they need to know I care about them. I'm fixing to bring something real heavy and weighty. That's okay. They need to know I care about them. They need to know I love them. Which the other thing that comes to mind when we read this passage of Scripture, a communicator always goes first to God, a good communicator. We're going to bridge that gap. We're going to lift them up. But I believe that Paul influenced more people for Christ by his prayers than he did his preaching. If you think about it just a minute, there was never a time that we see Paul speak to somebody in any correspondence, whomever he's speaking with, he does so in prayer. Everyone he touches, he is not bashful about telling them, I am praying for you. Notice here in the Romans, he said, Man, I heard about how great your faith is, and I've been telling everybody, and I have been praying for you. Even when he was imprisoned, now those walls and everything may keep him from going out and actually sharing the good news with others, but it sure couldn't keep him from praying for all those others. It couldn't get in the way of him lifting them up. And when he came to Rome here, he's letting them know that I am praying for you guys. I've heard about your faith, and I have been praying for you. When was the last time that you can honestly, truthfully, not just flippantly, but honestly say that you told somebody you were praying for them? Let me share with you this morning that when that individual knows that you care about them, you've bridged that gap somehow, some way, let them know that they are important to you, and then you let them know, I am praying for you, you have gained their hearing. When they truly believe, you know, I am furious with you, but I know you love me and you're praying for me, they're going to listen to you most times. They are going to open their ears. When we are praying for someone, guys, God opens the heart and mind of that individual towards you, and they are going to be inclined to listen to what it is you have to say because they know that you have called in a higher power. There was a young boy who his mama takes him into a store, and the shop owner, a nice man, passes him down a large jar of suckers and tells the young man, go ahead and grab you some, son. You're being so well-behaved, I want you to grab these suckers. Well, the boy very uncharacteristically steps back and acts bashful and hides behind his mama's leg. So the store owner reaches in, takes out the suckers, gives them to the boy, a handful. And when they get outside, mom asks, son, why were you acting like that? Why were you suddenly so shy? And the little boy said, because his hand's much bigger than my hand is. We laugh. But how wise. If I'm going to go and communicate with someone, whether it be my spouse, my children, so whomever it may be, my God's hands are way bigger than mine are. Therefore, I should go in prayer and let God do the reaching in. We should be praying for God to get involved in our lives and the lives of those who we're trying to communicate with. We should be lifting them and laying them into the hands of those who are influentially much larger than ours. And notice the quality of Paul's prayers. They were constant. He said, I have been praying for you unceasingly. I have been lifting you up. They were personal. They were particular. They were submissive. They were undemanding. But most of all, they were genuine. He says, God is my witness. He's letting them know that man, I have heard of your faith. I am so proud of the y'all and sharing the faith that you guys have. And I have been praying for you as God is my witness. If we really want to communicate with others, if we really want to share with our spouse or our children or the gospel with anyone on the street, they should know that we are genuinely concerned about who they are, and we genuinely lifted them to the Father. That doesn't mean you spent 6 hours on your knees praying for them. You might have, but you might have just lifted it up in prayer right now. Father God, I pray for your divine touch and direction in this koinonia, on this moment in time right now. I pray this is your specific touch in the conversation I'm about to have with my spouse, with my child, with my co-worker, my brother, my sister in Christ, this person I'm about to share the gospel with. Folks, we should work at sharing how important they are to us and then lift them to the Lord. Pray about that. And then a good communicator understands that he is going into this conversation not just giving but receiving too, listening back and forth. Look at verse 11 and 12. He said, for I want very much to see you that what? I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you, and then to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. He's going into this conversation knowing I have something to give, but it's not one-sided and all about me. I'm going to listen to what you have to say back. He's going into this conversation, you are important to me. I have prayed about this, and I want to reach out, and I'm going to share what God's laid on my heart, and I'm anxious to hear what you're going to share with me. Now, in verse 11, we don't know if Paul was meaning to use his spiritual gifts to help the Romans, or he was going to lay hands on them and impart spiritual gifts to them. Both interpretations are possible. But what we're looking at right here is he wanted to give to the Romans, and then he confessed that the Romans are going to have spiritual gifts to give back onto him. When we go into a conversation, when we play that quiet game, you know, where we just get angry and we put our nose in the air and act like, I don't like you anymore. That is not good conversation. And that is not praying to the Lord, because I guarantee you that's not what God's going to tell you to do. We should care for our spouse, and then in that caring, lift them unto the Lord, and then go into the conversation understanding that I'm not always right. I'm not 100% correct. I know that I'm not perfect. Therefore, I'll share what I have to share, and I am already mutually, before this conversation starts, knowing that you have something that God's going to say through you back to me. And when we start conversing that way, when we start giving and receiving, that breaks down the barriers that oftentimes get built up in communication. When we start realizing they have something to say back, when we acknowledge, I tell folks all the time, I may understand why you say that you're angry with your spouse, but that doesn't mean that you're not have something wrong in that conversation as well. Almost always, there's something, if you stop and think, something you did that you can apologize for as well and say, I'm sorry. It's almost always somebody on one side or the other may start it, but you are not going to be perfect and Christ-like completely. And it's for that reason to go into those conversations saying, you know, honey, I love you. I care about you. You know, maybe you're your child, maybe a coworker. You know, bro, I appreciate that we work together, and you are absolutely one of the best electricians I've ever seen. But man, can you keep your dirty underwear off my toolbox? Or something, you know, whatever. Whatever it may be. I know that was weird, and that's getting recorded and going to be on the internet now. Whatever the conversation is, whatever the conversation is, go with it with the acknowledgement they may have something they need to say back. Because he may then say, I'm trying my best. I have problems at home. I'm getting here. I'm having to change clothes. Things are going every which way. And I'm just so sorry. I have so much. And you know what happens then? Brother, can I pray with you? Can I pray peace in your life right now? Because you didn't just get angry about what was there. You truly decided that you cared about him. You prayed for him. And you were going to voice your opinion, but you're going to listen back and you realize, wow, it's not as one-sided as I thought it was. There are spiritual battles going on here that I can ask God to come into the midst of and work in. And I am going to pray for you. And all of a sudden, you may find out that person didn't even know who Christ was, and this is an opportunity to share the gospel. It can go from there if we will quit being one-sided and about ourselves, put our pride to the side, choose to be a communicator, do like Paul, bridge that gap, lift them in prayer, and then say, I am bringing something I want to say, but I am willing to listen as well. Folks, when we give, and it may be when we give, it could be something as simple as a touch. It could be a hug. It could be a thank you. It can be a word. I'm saying when we go, plan on giving, but also receiving, and recognize that in that giving and receiving, God will work. You remember the story of Abraham? He sent his servant, go find a wife for Isaac. And the servant's going out, and he says, well, how am I going to do this? And he says, God, I'm going to go into this town, and I'm going to go into this town, and I'm going to go to this town. And when you have that one that you want to Isaac to marry, I want you to come and touch her to have her offer me water at the well. And if you remember, he goes into this town, and there's Rebecca at the well, and it says she's a virtuous, lovely young woman who sees this stranger come. And she not only offers him a drink, but she also offers, she sees he's tired, and she says, can I get water for your camels also? And here she goes, and out of her heart, she gives this water, and she just starts this conversation with giving. And when she comes back, he looks to her, and he gives her earrings and a purse of gold, and says that my servant has sent me, Abraham, and I want you to come back and be his son's wife. And he goes to the father, and all of a sudden Rebecca comes back. She marries Isaac, and here we have the mother of Israel. And all that was because she had a giving spirit, and he had a receiving spirit. And between the two, God used them. You may say, well, why did God choose Rebecca? It was more than she was just a virtuous woman. It was a woman that was willing to see a need and meet that need and communicate back and forth. And God made her the mother of Israel. Folks, when we go into conversations thinking it's my way or the highway, I'd almost rather you just take the highway. Because there's so many times God wants to speak to that other person. God's waiting to speak to that individual. But we close our ears. We should be, if we really want to communicate in our relationships, in our marriages, let them know how important they are to you. Lift them up in the Lord. Pray for them. Make sure that you're ready to give, but also receive whatever it is back and forth. And guys, this is a biggie. We get so caught up in our pride that oftentimes we don't even make our motives known. Now, he says here in verse 13 through 17, Paul lets them know, I'm coming and I'm going to share the gospel with you. I want to share the ways of Christ. And that's what we need to do as well. But I'm going to step back into our personal relationships for a second. When we come to our conversations with our spouses, with our children, with brothers and sisters in the church, whether we're at another church, a camp, whatever it may be, if we really want to be the communicator that God's called us to be, we need to make our motives known. Paul, he had a specific threefold foundation to sharing the gospel, and he made sure they understood it. So often we as people think that others can read our minds. Well, he should just know what I'm saying. And then we get angry because the guy's sitting there like, what in the world just happened? Or vice versa. We get angry with one another because we don't read each other's minds, or we get angry because you didn't fill in the blanks. A good communicator is going to say, I care about you, I love you, I have prayed for you, and I am wanting to bring some to the table, but I want to receive as well, and here are my motives. This is what I am thinking. Paul made it understood the motive why he was there. When we are conversing with someone, we need to make sure that we don't leave anything out there for happenstance to the best of our ability. We should say, this is what I'm thinking. This is why I acted the way I did. This is why I bought the thing I bought. This is why I said this to those people or that people. Let them know this is who I am, and I am communicating my motive. We have gotten to be a people that we are so prideful about ourselves that when somebody doesn't understand it, we say, well, you're at fault. You're wrong. And pride goes before the fall, and then the fall takes down the relationship. We should bridge the gap. We should communicate some type of meaning that they are important to us. Pray for them. Be willing to give. Be willing to receive. And let your motives be known of what it is you have to say. That quiet game that we tend to play, that doesn't do anything. That talk, going around talking behind the backs of others and thinking that hopefully it'll filter back to them. I don't know if you ever played telephone when you were a kid. It never comes back the way you started it. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. If we truly care, he said, you'll know my people by the love they have for one another. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy spirit, and love others as you love yourself. If we're going to show that kind of love, if we care about our spouse, if we care about our children, if we care about that man that's standing in front of the store that we're to share the gospel with, if we really care about others and love them as we love ourselves, then we would want them to have the full conversation as we would hope to receive that full conversation. But that means I have to admit I had wrong. That means I have to admit I might have done something bad. That means I have to admit, praise God, when we admit and repent and get it behind us, you can continue to move forward through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. But as long as you hold to that pride, you're hurting yourself and hurting that relationship. And pretty soon you're not even possibly going to share the gospel because it all came about you. Now, Paul also in this conversation, notice he says in verse 14 that I am indebted. I am indebted to you. Paul felt like he owed it to them to share the gospel. Hallelujah. And we should as well with the Great Commission. But again, I'm going to take it back for just a moment in those personal relationships. We should feel indebted to share what it is on our hearts that God has laid on our hearts to share. That means there's no room for the quiet game and such in there. We should feel indebted to lay that out there. When he says this word, it means that he feels like he's in debt, like if he owes somebody money. I owe this to you. I think all of us have owed somebody money, whether it's a mortgage company, a bank. We borrowed money from somebody. And most of us, I think, would feel the repaying of that debt would take on a priority. I've got to get this paid off. I'm going to work twice as hard to get more money. I may even sacrifice in all my other areas because I need to pay this debt off. That's what he's saying. I hope all of us think that way anyway. We have that debt. That means I have to do everything I can in my possible way to pay off that debt. That's the word that Paul uses here. That's the meaning of the word when you go back and read the writings. He was saying to the Roman church, I have to do this. I owe it to you to share this gospel message. That's the kind of pull that motivated Paul. And I would share with you this morning that when we have conversations, especially with our spouses, especially with our children, with our parents, we should feel indebted to let them know exactly how I feel and where I stand so that they can then look and say, okay, I didn't realize. And you can have an intelligent conversation rather than just an emotional, heated, breaking apart thing. When they know how much you care, when they know that you are praying for them, when they know that you are willing to give and receive, when they see, too, that you are making your motives known in such a way that you feel indebted to them to let them know this, there's going to be a conversation. Paul was letting them know it's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles as well. I'm letting you know up front, this is for everybody. Folks, it's the same thing when we share the gospel. We need to be so indebted to Christ that we need to tell others about Jesus. But in that need to tell others of the gospel, sometimes that need needs to be calling upon the name of Jesus in our personal conversations as well. When we are talking to our spouse, when we're angry with our spouse, when we're angry with our coworker, our supervisor, whomever it may be, it is then that we should take it and lift it to the Lord. Find the good things so that you can show them that you still care about them. Pray about it. And then allow God to work in there and share with them that indebtedness. I owe it to you to let you know. This is how I feel. Now, you may not be able to change how somebody feels. But at least then you have in your head where they're coming from. You may not understand it. You know, Dr. Tony Evans, I love Dr. Tony Evans. I'm so privileged that we got to go and visit his church last year. But I love Dr. Tony Evans, but I'll never forget, this was many years ago, and it just stuck. And he was, if you've ever heard Dr. Tony Evans, he's loud. He's up there, and he's loud, and he was on my radio. I was listening to him on the radio. And he said, to a man, 1 + 1 = 2, but to her, it's 1 + 1 = blue. It don't make sense. But to her, it's blue, and you better run with it that way. It may not make sense how she or he came to that conclusion, but you care for her, you care for him, and you're going to lift them in prayer, and you're going to listen as well as give. You're going to say, 1 + 1 = 2 to me, but okay, it's blue. Let's talk about how we can come together with this. And that conversation will take on a totally different realm rather than you just say, well, you're an idiot. It's numerical. It's 2. That's not going to get you dinner tomorrow night, I promise. Folks, if we really want to be the communicators that God has called us to be, and he's called every one of us, he said, go ye therefore and make disciples and baptize. To make a disciple means you're going to train them up in the ways of Christ. How are you going to train them up in the ways of Christ? You may say, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a pastor. By just having conversations with them where they know you care enough about them that you feel indebted to share with them the grace and the mercy that God has shared with you. And you're going to be able to do it because not that you're special, but because you've learned to listen. You've learned to give. And it's imperative. This came up in Sunday school this morning, or maybe when Paul and I was writing. I can't remember now. But recently, it came up that when God tells us to do something, we need to do it then. Right then. I want to share a letter with you. I found this letter. It's from an 18-year-old young lady in Washington State. And she was writing it to a church. She had gone to this church. It was the first time she had heard the gospel message. She heard the gospel message that Sunday, and she wrote a letter back to the church Tuesday. And this is what the letter said. Dear church members, last Sunday I attended your church and heard the preacher in the sermon. He said that all men have sinned and rebelled against God. Because of their rebellion and disobedience, they all face eternal damnation and separation from God. But then he also said, God loved men and sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to redeem them from their sins, and that all those who believe in him would go to heaven and live with God eternally. My parents recently died in rapid succession. I know they did not believe in Jesus Christ, whom you call the Savior of the world. If what you believe is true, then they are damned. Therefore, you compel me to believe that either that message is true, or that you don't believe in that message, or you just don't care. Because you see, we live 3 blocks from your church and no one has ever told us about this Jesus Christ. Wow. When God tells us to share the gospel, we're to share the gospel. And you know what? Even in the midst of our personal conversations, God may be saying it's time to shut up and look up. I tell folks sometimes when they're getting to that point in their relationship and there's just a lot of back and forth and a lot of arguing and a lot of hatefulness, one of the techniques I tell folks to do is when it gets like that, you need to stop and pray. And somebody told me, well, we'd be praying every 15 seconds. It'd be real hard to yell at one another if you're praying every 15 seconds. And eventually you're going to get tired of praying and then start talking to one another on a normal way. If you continually call the Lord's name down into the midst of this, when you continually allow the Spirit of God to work in your conversations, when you continue, guys, please understand, I'm still working on this myself. I wish I was perfect, but I'm not. I can think of all kinds of conversations in my life I wish I could go back and retweak. with my children especially. They say I'm too hard on myself because I've apologized to them, especially the oldest ones. I just wasn't there. But praise God that even as somebody as crusty and of thought and mouth as me, he can keep molding and making you into what he wants you to be. I'm far from where I need to be, but I strive to try to become what he's called me to be. And that's what each one, that's all he asks from each one of us. Well, Pastor, I've had divorces. I've had broken relationships. I've had this. Okay. The past is the past. What do you choose to do from this day forward? You look at the life of Paul that we're studying right now. He had a pretty horrendous past. But when God got a hold of him, he realized, I need to change the way I communicate. I need to change the things that I do. And what does he say? He says, I am not ashamed. Folks, we should not be ashamed to share the gospel. Whether it's on the street corner with someone who we don't know, whether it's a coworker in the toolbox beside us, or in the midst of that conversation with your wife, and she knows the Lord, you know the Lord, do not be ashamed to say, let's stop and pray about this because this is getting out of hand. Do not be ashamed to call the Word of God back into the conversation, whatever it may be that has gone on. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He knew the powerful, what happens within that message. We live in a society where we have been shamed. Shame is a powerful emotion that is consistently and constantly being pushed on Christians. It's important that we stop and we pray and we speak and do our best to communicate that I am not ashamed of the gospel. Bible-believing Christians are told their morals are outdated, that our belief system is archaic, that we are bigoted, that we're told we're intolerant because we want to adhere to the Word of God. Folks, regardless of what the current cultural consensus may be at the moment, regardless of what the social whelps may lift up and yell about, if you today know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe in the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, then you have nothing to be ashamed about. Preach the gospel, stand for the gospel, whether you're on a street corner or at your dining room table or in your children's teacher's office, stand upon the Word of God unashamedly, proclaim His righteousness, proclaim His mercy and His grace, put on the blood of Christ, and you can be the communicator God's called you to be. Amen. It's not about special training. It's about just surrendering your pride to Christ. Saying, Father, here I am. It comes down to man trusting God instead of himself. If I just trusted Frank, I'd be a very rough individual. You know, I wish I could tell you that the old Frank's completely gone. You know, there are times, and it happens more than I care, I feel the lightning flash across my eyes. I wish it, and I prayed for God to take that away. He has it. You know, just this week I had to call Sherry and told her I'd heard about some child abuse stuff, and and for a day I was enraged. I was praying not to have to speak to people, because I knew that I was not in a good place. It was just a trigger that I have that I try to stay away from. But it triggered. And once it triggered, it's hard for me to put that back in its cage, if you will. But I was able to. That's what makes me different from who I used to be. I used to went out to the bar, and God helped the man that I felt as though wronged me one way or the other. Now I can just take it to the Lord. In fact, when I got home from Dallas, Sherry asked me, how'd you deal with your problem? Praise God for a wife that was able to understand to ask me that. I told her, I don't know. It took me a day, but God just kind of handled it. It went away. There was a day that wouldn't have happened. Why? Because I slowly am allowing the grace and the mercy of God to move in my life, to touch me in a way that I can communicate, not out of my old self, not out of that prideful self, not out of what Frank used to be, but out of what God wants and is trying to make me into. Now, do I continually still get in the way? Sure. Those of you who know me know that my mouth outruns my brain quite often. But he knows I'm trying. And he knows whether you're trying or not as well. And I would share with you this morning, it is very difficult for proud people to trust God more than themselves. But if we really want to be the communicator in our relationships, if we really want to be able to communicate with our spouse and grow stronger one with another, if we really want to communicate to our children that we love them, that some things are not acceptable, but I love you anyway in the midst of this, if we really want to be able to communicate with our coworkers that I care about you, if we really want to communicate that God loves you to someone you've never met before, then what you're going to have to do is look for that care, that responsibleness where you understand that they are important to you. Let them see how they are important to you. Let them know you're praying for them, that you've prayed for that situation. And then from there, make sure you're ready to give and receive. It's not one-sided. And then make your motives known unto them. Do it in a fashion that you feel indebted. You owe it to them to hear what you have to say. And you would owe it to them to listen to what they have to say back. And then unashamedly stand upon the word of God. That's what makes a communicator. That's what makes every one of us capable of going out and carrying forth the Great Commission. It isn't how many seminary degrees you have. It isn't how long you've studied the Bible. It's have you surrendered your pride. Does your relationship with your wife, your husband, your children, your coworkers, whoever it is, are they more important than your pride? That's the question that you have to answer. And sometimes when you ask yourself that, at least myself, I got to kind of kick myself a few times to remind myself, put your pride to the side. This relationship means more. And why can I do that? Because my relationship with Christ means even more. And if he can forgive me and love me regardless of how dumb I can be sometimes, then I think I can put grace, mercy, and everything on this relationship as well. Where are you today? I'm asking you to do something you cannot do if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We are a prideful people. And if it took down Satan, who has a whole lot more power than you and I have, but that's what got him thrown out of the kingdom of glory. If that pride is so powerful that it would throw out Satan, then you're not going to be able to control your pride. The only one that can control your pride is Jesus Christ. That means giving your pride to him. And you do that by accepting him into your life. Humble yourself enough to come before the throne of grace and say, Father, I am a prideful, loud-mouthed person, but I choose to surrender to you. Will you come into my life? Cleanse me of my sins. Wash me of all my unrighteousness. Forgive me, clothe me, and make me a new creation. Now, I may be throwing out a lot of Christianese there, but God's speaking to your heart. How's he speaking to you? And have you listened to him before? I'm about to lead us into a word of prayer. If God's speaking to you and you've never accepted him, this is your first time ever truly surrendering to Christ, please make that decision. Then make it public. If you're here this morning and God's telling you to move your membership, or maybe he's telling you to say that you're going to go get active, maybe he's telling you to go apologize to that person you didn't communicate very well with. You're realizing this argument, sure, it was two-sided, but I have a lot to do with my side of it. Your humility and apology, God can take and just reroute an entire relationship if you let him. Let's put the grudges behind us. Let's put the ugliness behind us. Let's put the mind-reading stuff behind us, the quiet game stuff, and let's become the communicators God's called us to be. It's your decision how you choose to go forth. You can't say you don't have an example. Paul put forth a great example as he then led the Roman church into the, I believe, one of the greatest definitions and explanations and why they call it the Roman road of presenting the gospel. And he did it with grace, mercy, and to a people who wanted to hear, because he had already told them how important they were. Where are you this morning? Let's all stand. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. If God's speaking to you today, this is your opportunity. You can say, Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner in need of your grace. Father, I love you. I care for you. And I desire, Lord, that you will touch me, take me, make me, and just utilize me in whatever it takes to heal the past relationships if I can and strengthen the ones in the future. Where are you this morning? Where are you? Father God, I just come before you today and just ask in the name of Jesus that you forgive us our shortcomings and our weaknesses. And if there's anyone here today, maybe they've been in church their whole life, but they realize today they don't have that grace and that mercy. That their pride has just kept them from actually truly surrendering their heart to you. If they realize that this day, will you speak to them in such a fashion that they will understand you love them, you care about them, so much so that you said that you would go and die and shed your blood as a sacrifice, for there's no remission of sin without blood, and you chose to shed yours for us. Let them hear that, maybe for the first time. And may they make a decision before it's too late. And Lord, for the rest of us here, none of us are perfect, God. We know that. But will you help us get a little closer to you? Help us surrender our pride, our conversations, our sides of the story. May we realize and recognize that we can give but also receive. And may we hear you in what we say and do. Help us become the communicators of your grace and your mercy, the way you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. As Chris leads us this morning, sing. If God's laid it on your heart to sing, he may be telling you to pray. He may be telling you to pray for someone else. He may be telling you to go across the aisle and say, I'm sorry to somebody. He may be telling you to go and just hug someone. Whatever it is God's telling you to do, will you do that today? In Jesus' name.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Strength, my shield, to you alone may my spirit heal. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You strength, my shield, to you alone may my spirit heal. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
You alone are my strength, my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee.
He alone is our heart's desire.
You say those words, I hope you meant them. For if He alone is your heart's desire to worship Him, then that will help you walk away from that altar of pride. It's a hard one, guys. But when we put our pride to the side, that's when He'll teach us how to talk to those around us. That doesn't mean pride doesn't rear its head. It keeps coming back sometimes. But the closer we get to Him, the harder it is for it to get through the fence. Amen. Amen. Good seeing everybody this morning. Praise the Lord for you. Real quickly, our sister, sweet sister, come back. Come here, Mary. I'm going to call you out. She was misbehaving in church this morning. No, I'm just kidding. She is back down from Wisconsin. If you didn't know, she was up there quite a while. She had all kinds of surgeries, things going on. She just didn't seem like she was going to be able to make it back. And she came to me this morning and said she wanted everybody to thank everybody for your prayers, your concerns, and for praying her back home down here. Amen. Amen. Did you want to say anything?
Well, I will have to say that through the prayer of everybody, I have no more melanoma.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But now she has a Lizzie.
Yeah. Now she can't get rid of me.
That's right. That's right. Gail, Ed, come on up. Is this louder than normal, or I just finally hear it? Oh, is that what it is? Well, Gail and Ed are coming down this morning. We prayed about some things, but they are mainly coming down. We've talked, and Gail and Ed, you may have thought they were already members because they've been here for a while and everything, but they said that they feel like God's leading them, and they both know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and they're coming. They want to join and be a part of this body of believers and be a part of what we're doing here in Sutherland Springs. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody in the court said, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody ready to put Ed to work? Say amen.
Amen.
You know, guys, as they come and join, remember, it's a special thing. When we come together and join as a body, remember the body has specific parts. It has a hands, it has arms, it has feet. Our bodies are all these different parts. It's an important thing when someone joins this way. They're saying, I want to come and be a part of this body, working the way God's working with that body. And together, we're called to do the work. It's not just the pastor, not just Chris, or not just Ed and Gail. All of us that are members, we've been called to further the gospel, the kingdom of God. And by them coming down, praise God, they're saying, it looks like y'all are headed the way we want, that God's telling us to go, and we want to be a part of that. So amen. Hallelujah. So pray for them this week as their face crosses your mind. Hopefully it's not at midnight and scares you. But... Now, pray for them if they cross your mind and know that they have come to be a part of our body. Amen? Thank you, guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good seeing everybody this morning. Remember, Sunday school teachers meeting. She said it's a brief one. Also, SRT is going to have a brief meeting after service. So I want to encourage you guys to stay and be a part of that with whatever God's called you to do. Stormy, will you close us in prayer this morning?
Joy, joy, down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my soul.
What?
Down in the depths of my soul.
What?
Down in the depths of my soul. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my soul.
Okay.
Down in the depths of my soul to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack.
Ouch!
Sit on attack.
Ouch!
Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack.
Ouch!
Sit on attack today. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.